Brush Housing Authority, who say our area is a great place to live, work, and raise our families, and they're doing their part to keep it that way. That's the Brush Housing Authority. For more information on programs, call 970-482-5046. 970-482-5046. Evangelist Samuel Santos will be holding a revival meeting the 20th and 21st of November at the Pullian Community Building, 545 North Cleveland Avenue in Loveland, Colorado. The revival will begin at 7:30 p.m. Once again, Pastor Samuel Santos will be holding a revival meeting the 20th and 21st of November at the Pullian Community Building, 545 North Cleveland Avenue in Loveland, Colorado. Starting time is 7:30 p.m. Whether you're in automotive, sporting goods, hardware, health, wellness, electrical, electronics, construction, carpet cleaning, legal, or animal care, and offer exceptional customer service and provide quality services or goods, you're honest, reliable, and professional. If you have a business, we have the customers. Let us put you in touch with our loyal, supportive, and dedicated listeners today. They're waiting to hear from you. It's inexpensive. It's effective. Call KHNC at 1-800-205-6245.
Well, good morning, Dr. Dan here at the American Freedom Network. And with us this morning is Vicki DeBold, and she is works very closely with the Vaccine Information Center, with Barbara Lowe Fisher's organization. And Vicki attends and is on a number of FDA and other boards as a representative. I'm going to let you or tell you a little bit about her background. She certainly has a training in nursing and public health. And anyway, Cindy, could you introduce yourself to our audience? I wish I had the opportunity to have everything listed here for you, but you certainly have been an expert in public and public health issues. So what is your background, what do you do, and why is the information you have really so vitally important to every parent and grandparent in the listening audience?
Well, Dr. Monteith, thank you so much for inviting me to be on your show. And you're right. I do work very closely with the National Vaccine Information Center, where I serve as the Director of Patient Safety and the Director of Research. I started out my career in healthcare about 30 years ago as a nurse, and I was a pediatric intensive care unit nurse at a large teaching hospital for a number of years, and eventually went back to school and worked on graduate degrees and ended up getting a PhD in public health and a PhD in nursing. And for a short while, I worked as a health policy analyst for the Congress and was on faculty at a couple of good-sized teaching universities, and I still work part-time as a university faculty teaching research methods and the like. I became interested in the vaccine issue when my son suffered an adverse reaction, and I just want to mention that as a pediatric nurse, I had vaccinated a lot of children, and I'd also taken care of a lot of children who died from Haemophilus influenza B and were very sick from pertussis. So I took this issue quite seriously. But when my son had his reaction, I started looking into things a bit more, and as a nurse, when I had been giving vaccines, I had assumed that there was, you know, a very good, strong evidence basis behind giving a lot of the vaccines at the same time, that all the ingredients of vaccines had been thoroughly tested and evaluated, that we wouldn't be asked to, administer the recommended schedule without it being, absolutely and completely safe. And what I learned was that there were some gaps in the science, and that's when I started becoming involved as an advocate and started volunteering for some of the advocacy groups. So I've learned since it's been 10 years now since my son had his reaction, and He honestly had had a couple of small reactions before that, but I didn't recognize it as being perhaps a warning sign. And at his 15-month baby visit, he was given MMR, DTP, and actually it was DTaP and Haemophilus influenza B, and he had trouble standing up and holding himself up in his crib. And he, prior to that time, had been cruising around holding on to the furniture trying to learn to walk. And after that, he was very unsteady on his feet, was ataxic, and for, a couple of days, he actually had, serious difficulty bearing weight and holding himself up. And then he lost interest in walking, and that went on for about 2 months. And we had a number of things that happened after that, but it started, I started wondering, what was going on. So that was 10 years ago, and since that time, like I mentioned, that I have become quite invested in advocacy work, and I now serve as the consumer representative to the Food and Drug Administration's Vaccine Licensing Committee. So I sit on the committee as a voting member, reviewing the science that is put forth when the manufacturers come in and request licensure for their products. I'm also on a couple of committees within the National Vaccine Advisory Committee, which is a subcommittee within the Health and Human Services Department that is trying to begin looking at how to improve the safety of the entire vaccine infrastructure here in the United States. It's quite a large undertaking, but there's a lot of opportunities for the public to become informed about what's going on and to provide comments during open public comment time for these committees, because most of the time we don't hear from the public, and it's me and a few other voices trying to talk to these federal policymakers that about the needs that are out there and that are not being met.
Well,
sorry for the long introduction, but you have.
Well, certainly one of my major concerns, and I think the major concern of a lot of people who certainly are watching what's unfolding, is the number of vaccines. I mean, you're describing when your son went to the doctor, 15 months of age. I mean, certainly receiving these multiple vaccines, the measles, mumps, rubella, and DPT, and a couple of others. And certainly, if you examine what happens with the immune system has to harness itself and prime itself for each one of those separate diseases, and simply. Almost like it's overwhelming. I mean, you get multiple infections or simulated infections you're giving to the immune system, and certainly the immature immune system isn't prepared. This is a real insult to the body, isn't it?
Well, it certainly is quite a challenge, and there are many more vaccines given now than even when my son was vaccinated a decade ago. There's quite a few more at the 15-month well baby visit than when he was an infant.
We'll be back in just a moment here after the break. Vicky Bold, who's really on the front lines of this battle, has a fascinating story to tell us right back here at the American Discussion.
Ladies and gentlemen, Mr. Tom Phillips, founder of the Green Herb.
All of God's people have a ministry, and it's a trick of our enemy to keep God's people sick and worn out to hinder their ability to minister. We are often judgmental toward people who are addicted to booze, cigarettes, and drugs, but we at the Green Herb have found that most of God's people are unknowingly addicted to the two most addictive products in America, sugar and soda pop. If you have a sickness or disease, or if you're just tired a lot, the Green Herb has an herbal product that is formulated just for you, and it's just $15.95. Come by the Green Herb, located in Wheat Ridge, Colorado, on the I-70 Frontage Road North, 1 mile west of Kipling, or call 888-765-HERB. That's 888-765-4372. Or go to our website, www.thegreenherb.com, and be sure to listen to The Green Herb Show with Linda and Dr. Cass every Tuesday at 1 o'clock on KHNC.
Allstate Sweeping reminds parents in our listening area that over the summer, children who are out of school shouldn't be out of luck, hope, or guidance. For many troubled youth, the first step towards drugs and crime is having nothing better to do. Take your kids to the beach, park, or family center. It's the best weapon against delinquency, crime, and drug abuse. This message is from Allstate Sweeping. They're a concerned area business working toward drug-free communities for our youngsters. That's Allstate Sweeping, located at 10150 East 106th Avenue in Brighton.
This is George Flynn. For several years, I was privileged to host the Words of Freedom show here on KHNC. If you've been wanting a Colorado or Wyoming concealed carry permit or non-resident Utah or Florida permit, please note that I've been a firearms instructor since the 1970s and currently conduct concealed carry classes under the banner of Self-Defense Guns. Please visit our website, selfdefenseguns.com, or call 970-622-2091. That's 970-622-2091.
About what happened when you give a child multiple vaccines at the same time, and when you, if you stop and analyze how the immune system works, why the immune system has to then mobilize itself to deal with all of these separate infections. Now, it doesn't know it's a simulated infection, but certainly this simply, in many ways, begins to overwhelm the immune system, certainly not only the immune system in the body, but the immune system in the brain, which is certainly a very real concern as we look and see the disastrous consequences of in so many of our children today. Anyway, would you like to pick up and expand on that idea? Because multiple vaccinations, are there any studies that show that multiple vaccinations given at the same time are safe and do not have some damaging effect on at least some children, that they're not only their immune system generally, but upon the brain? Because one of the problems we hear so often, you know, is the fact that the children will either have headaches or they'll begin to have a high-pitched cry or other things that suggest there's an insult to the brain. As you mentioned, your child had difficulty standing.
Well, I agree with you that this is a topic that definitely needs to be studied, and it's there's the articles that I have seen and the studies that I have seen are so weak methodologically that it's hard to know how to make sense of them. Some of the material that I reviewed for the last FDA meeting, for example, they did evaluate safety when giving the experimental vaccine along with lots of other vaccines that were in the schedule. However, in the study, they didn't compare that to a group that got nothing. They compared it to a group that got different vaccines. And so you've got two vaccinated groups and trying to compare the health outcomes across two vaccinated groups. I think it doesn't take much beyond eighth grade science to know that it's very difficult to determine whether there are adverse reactions there or not. And the other thing I think is important that folks begin to understand is that there's an awful lot of fear out there about some of these illnesses, and I wonder sometimes how much some of it is actually justified. Now, take the H1N1 situation as an example. In the first study that was published, a vaccine trial for the H1N1 vaccine for the CSL product out of Australia, they went out of their way to choose 240 adults who said that they had not had a history of flu-like illness the previous 6 months. Now, this trial was conducted in the end of August, but they drew blood and then gave them their first vaccine and then checked the blood at the baseline there to see if they had protective titers, and 30% of the subjects who had not had an experience of flu apparently already had titers for the H1N1 antibodies. So it makes you wonder, you know, exactly what it is that the body does when it is exposed to both the natural illness and also to vaccines. I think sometimes there are things going on in the body that modern science is just not at the place that it clearly understands.
Now, well, let's just talk a little bit about certainly the H1N1 vaccine, and certainly they're giving this to our infants. They're giving them the H1N1 vaccine. They're giving them the seasonal flu vaccine, and the CDC, in its wisdom, has said, well, we've got to prime the immune system on these six-month-old children, so we won't give them one, but two shots. In other words, two shots of the H1N1 and two shots of the seasonal flu vaccine in 21 days, because we really want to get their immune system working. Is there any scientific evidence that you can really stimulate the child's immune system by giving them vaccines? Is there, I mean, it sounds great, but what's the scientific background for that?
Well, they definitely are recommending that the infants be given both seasonal flu vaccine and the H1N1 vaccine this year, and this will be the first time that infants will have been given four influenza vaccinations in a one-month period. There is very little scientific evidence to support the safety of doing that. The studies that are being done now are where they're still analyzing the data. The safety data that are coming out of these is still being evaluated, and the trials are relatively small. And as usual, they only included healthy children in these trials, so we don't know what happens when you do something like that to a child who has a history of eczema or epilepsy or food allergies or any number of standing immune system challenges. The other thing that is quite likely to happen, depending on which vaccine manufacturer that they get their vaccines from, these children can be exposed to higher levels of thimerosal, the mercury-containing preservative, than what we've seen in a good number of years.
I mean, one of the things you mentioned to me off air is the fact that the National Vaccine Information Center has a site where you can actually determine what is in the vaccines and how much is recommended that your child, say, ethylmercury, should receive depending upon their body weight, and then how much they really do receive. What is that website? How can people access it? And what will a six-month-old child who's perhaps, I'm not sure how much a six-month-old child weighs, but, I mean, how much vaccine, how much ethylmercury, and this is one of the things we're really concerned about, is the active ingredient in thimerosal, how much will they receive after they've gotten their four shots here within a month?
Well, this is a phenomenal question, and the National Vaccine Information Center is committed to providing information to the public so that the public can educate themselves and make informed decisions about vaccination. And recently, it has teamed up with some software developers who are developing what is known as the Vaccine Ingredients Calculator. And you can go to the NVIC website at nvic.org, and right in the middle of the home page there, you'll see sort of a turquoise blue box that says vaccine ingredients calculator and just click on that. And it will take you to a screen where it says, you know, you can use the vaccine ingredients calculator now. And right now, the calculator is only calculating the amount of mercury that is in the H1N1 shots and the seasonal flu shots. But what this does is it allows a parent or an adult, actually, to go ahead and put in their child's age and their weight and select one of the various vaccines and find out how much mercury is in there and how much is in there relative to what the Environmental Protection Agency says would be something, a dose that they should be able to handle. And before getting on, I just tried out an example here. I put in that my baby was 6 months old and weighed 15 pounds, and I chose both of the Sanofi Pasteur vaccines, both the H1N1 thimerosal-containing and the seasonal flu vaccine thimerosal-containing, both of which contain 12.5 micrograms of ethyl mercury in it. And what the calculator told me was that, according to the EPA standard, my baby should be able to handle 0.7 micrograms, and in fact, on that one visit, my baby would get 25 micrograms. And mind you, if you followed the CDC's recommended schedule, that would be repeated in about a month's time.
So what you're talking about is it have, what, 40, at least 40 times as much mercury at the end of this first series of vaccine shots when they're 6 months of age. But what does that do, to the brain of that developing child? What does that do to their system, when you get that much of a toxic substance in you?
Well, that's been the subject of, as you know, some intense debate and ongoing research. There have been some studies done in primates to evaluate what happens to the mercury. We are aware that the methyl mercury that is in contaminated fish, which, by the way, is what the EPA standard is set for. It is set for adults who are eating methylmercury-contaminated fish, but the National Academy of Sciences has said that's the most appropriate standard to use in evaluating mercury exposures in infants. I mean, it's the only standard we have. So there have been some studies that have tried to evaluate the difference in what happens between the methylmercury in contaminated food versus the ethyl mercury that's injected. And it does appear that the ethyl mercury will clear the blood system faster, but the question is, where does it go? We do know that it's not all excreted, and what we find is that after you look at the decomposition of the mercury in the brain tissue, there's about twice as much of the vaccine-based ethyl mercury ends up in the brain tissue as it does if you eat contaminated fish. So there are a lot of questions about that, and we know that mercury is a very potent neurotoxin, and it's something that we believe that should be avoided if it's at all possible to avoid taking it. And that's why that NVIC is proud to be affiliated with this vaccine ingredients calculator, because it will allow the public an opportunity to go in and see what's in the various shots and make some informed decisions about what it is that they choose to take. Right now, it only contains mercury in there, but we will be adding an aluminum layer, a formaldehyde layer, and we will eventually include all of the U.S. licensed shots.
Well, first they tell us, and you discuss this in with a pediatrician or a physician, they will tell you, look, they've taken mercury out of the childhood vaccines. I mean, they have taken mercury out of the childhood vaccines. But it would appear that they've left mercury in vaccines that are not considered strictly childhood vaccines, but they're given to children. Would that be a fair assessment?
Well, absolutely. And in addition to that, I mean, there are some childhood vaccines that still contain thimerosal. If, for example, you and your doctor have decided that the pertussis component of the vaccine is something that your child shouldn't have, to my knowledge, the only diphtheria tetanus option that's on the that's licensed in the U.S. contains 25 micrograms of alpha mercury in it. So I don't think that you can give a baby a DT shot in the United States that does not contain mercury. I think they all do. In addition to that, to my knowledge, all of the tetanus toxoid shots that adults get contains ethyl mercury. There's a number of the seasonal flu vaccines and the H1N1 flu vaccines that are mercury-containing, and also a meningitis vaccine.
We'll be back in just a moment here at the American Network.
Just a good old boy.
Hi, I'm Eric Cedarstrup. For over a decade, I've been the CEO, shipping clerk, and janitor of the Patriot Trading Group. And in that time, I've made friends with tens of thousands of like-minded individuals all over this country, most like me, trying to raise a family, run a business, and make sense out of a world gone mad. I'm proud of the fact that through stock bubbles, housing bubbles, and financial chaos, our customers are prospering and doing very well. By keeping our prices fair and our service fast, we find that 80% of our customers not only reorder, but they tell their friends. Don't be fooled by hype and high pressure. Do business with a company you can trust. Call the Patriot Trading Group at 1-800-951-0592 or check out our website at allamericangold.com. You'll be treated with honesty and respect. You have my word on it. I'm Eric Cedarstrom, CEO, shipping clerk, and janitor.
Making your way, the only way they know how.
Have a wedding, New Year's party, business conference, seminar, or holiday event coming up and can't seem to find that place that brings affordability and excellence together? Look no further. Celebrate the season with the redesigned Sable Landing Event Center, now open for your special occasions. Easily accessible and conveniently located 1.5 miles east of I-25 off Highway 119 at the Longmont Firestone exit. Sable Landing will delight your senses and impress your guests with stunning holiday lights, a peaceful garden courtyard, and beautifully lit fountain. Attention to detail and outstanding service is yours. Don't wait. It's peak season, so reserve your place now. Call for your private showing and ask how KHNC listeners can save hundreds on booking your wedding and special event now. 303-651-6427. That's affordable excellence at Sable Landing Event Center. That's 303-651-6427.
Are you tired of caffeinated or high-calorie beverages? Good Life International wants you to try Glyco Tea. You'll be drinking the finest quality tea, providing you with such benefits as absorption of carbs and calories. Great for diabetics and aids you with weight loss. For pennies a day, you can boost your energy. For more information or to order GlycoTea, go to www.life26.4tgl.com or call 720-494-4663.
Made Your Wagon reminds parents in our listening area that over the summer, children who are out of school shouldn't be out of luck, hope, or guidance. For many troubled youth, the first step towards drugs and crime is having nothing better to do. Take your kids to the beach, park, or family center. It's the best weapon against delinquency, crime, and drug abuse. This message was sponsored by Paint Your Wagon, totally dedicated to the care and enrichment of our area seniors. For more information regarding programs and admissions, call 823-5390. That's 823-5390. That's Paint Your Wagon in Lyons, where they're always working for our seniors.
Well, I understand back here at the American Freedom Network, I guess the thing I'm trying to make you bold, and we're talking about the situation as far as vaccines are concerned. A great deal of great information there at the Vaccine Information Center website. That's NVIC.org. That's NVIC.org. And Or if you can't remember it, certainly you can certainly just go to your search engine, put in either Vicki Diebold or Barbara Lowe Fisher. That's L-O-E, or just Barbara Fisher, and you can get to the NVIC website. But you need to begin to access the information there, and certainly you need to know who you can trust and who you can't trust. There are a lot of information up there that is specifically designed not to tell you the truth, but I found this is an excellent, excellent website. Do you have a website of your own, Vicki? Is there any other information you'd like to get out about your work?
Well, I put in probably 20 hours a week volunteering at NVIC, so I think my work is fairly well represented at the NVIC's website. We're also busy developing a scientific research program at NVIC that your listeners might want to know about. One of the federal advisory panels that both Barbara and I participated in last spring is known as the Salt Lake City Writing Group, and it was a group that provided stakeholder advice to the National Vaccine Advisory Committee about the CDC's immunization safety agenda. And it turned out to be a very successful endeavor in terms of getting recommendations that were adopted unanimously by the federal government, which we were all delighted and surprised, because one of the recommendations that they adopted was to study the health of unvaccinated children, which is something that we've been saying all along, that we have a lot of concerns about whether there are differences in health outcomes between fully vaccinated children and completely unvaccinated children. And I'll just read to you the brief recommendation that was endorsed unanimously, and it's actually quite remarkable, in my opinion. It says that the National Vaccine Advisory Committee endorses the writing group's recommendation for an external expert committee such as the Institute of Medicine with broad methodological design and ethical expertise to consider the strengths and weaknesses, ethical issues, and feasibility, including timeliness and cost of various study designs to examine outcomes in unvaccinated, vaccine-delayed, and vaccinated children and report back to the National Vaccine Advisory Committee. So this is the first time I've actually seen in writing where there's some credence given to what I know Barbara and others have been asking for nearly three decades now. So at our fourth public conference, our fourth international public conference, NVIC launched a fundraising activity to begin studying health outcomes in unvaccinated children. And we raised $100,000 at that meeting, and we are busy putting together a steering committee of expert scientists to help design a program of research. And we've already identified one project that we want to fund and that we think will begin work and have results within a year. So if anybody's looking for a tax-deductible donation idea, we would be happy to entertain any kind of contributions to this work.
And this is a good organization and well worthy of the support of the public. Now, of course, they already have one group, certainly the Amish and Mennonite children who don't take vaccines. And has anybody studied the difference between the health of the Amish children and, say, the children who are vaccinated across America?
Well, there are a few little studies here and there, but nothing that really sort of gets to the bottom of things. And the argument that I hear that the federal government makes against studying the Amish and other very homogeneous groups is that genetically they may not be the same as other people. And then they will also say that their practices in terms of what they eat or the kind of health care that they use and what have you would be different than other people, and that in and of itself could explain the differences in health outcomes, so that you can't untangle the effect of vaccination from the effect of living one's life in a different manner. I think there are ways of getting around that. There's certainly many other projects that we think need to be done. There are a number of projects that could be done in animal models. There are things that could be done in laboratory, using laboratory designs and laboratory settings. The federal government has said that they do not believe that the creme de la creme of research studies can or should be done, and that being a randomized controlled trial where one group of children receives all the vaccines their CDC recommends and another group receives no vaccines whatsoever. They believe that's an unethical project, and they think that because that project could not be done within the confines of, you know, ethical scientific practice, we can't possibly know the answer to this question. Well, we disagree.
You can't possibly know the answer to the question, and how can you justify giving the vaccines when you do have not done the studies to prove that they're safe? And why would you want to do something to children when there might even be the possibility you're doing terrible damage?
Well, that's the debate right there. That is the heart of the debate. One side says it's ethical to not do the studies, and the other side says it's not ethical to do the studies. That is the loggerheads that we're at.
Yeah. But
it's quite amazing, don't you think?
Well, it is so frustrating because, you know, 3,000 years ago, there was something known as sophistry where you could argue a false point to the point where people would accept it as being true, and I believe sophistry is alive and well in the United States today. Sophistry and the philosophy of Sophocles destroyed ancient Greece when they got people to believe things that just weren't true. And if you're concerned about the health of children, how can you justify, you know, carrying out this massive vaccine program when you say it's unethical to determine whether or not it is safe for our children? And certainly, aren't people concerned by the skyrocketing incidence of asthma and allergy and autoimmune disease and juvenile diabetes, juvenile arthritis, autism? So we'll be back in just a moment here at America.
An emergency preparedness plan for your home, car, school, and office is a must. Knowing how to store water safely, survive extreme temperature changes, provide reliable shelter, first aid, and sanitation is critical. Knowing where to get the best lights, radios, and other supplies is easy. Ferris Survival, located at 3366 South Broadway, is a professional, reputable, full-service business providing realistic preparedness supplies at affordable prices. Stop by, go online, or call 303-781-0343, 866-781-0343.
Celebrate a free Festival of Lights night with friends and family at the newly redesigned Sable Landing Event Center Sunday, December the 6th at 5 p.m. Enjoy cookies, hot chocolate, exciting stories, and special music as you stroll through the Winter Wonderland Garden Courtyard. Sable Landing's located 1.5 miles east of I-25 and the Longmont Firestone exit, 5961 Sable Avenue. Call 303-651-6427. Come and enjoy the free Festival of Lights nights. That's 303-651-6427.
And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. John bore witness of Him and cried out, saying, "This was He of whom I said, He who comes after me is preferred before me, for He was before me." The Gospel of John, chapter 1, verse 14 and 15.
Sterling Living Center believes the word elderly is synonymous with dignity. This holiday season, spend time with a senior and learn about life from the most experienced people in the world. That was from Sterling Living Center, where they feature the ultimate in skilled nursing care for the aged, convalescent, or chronically ill. Licensed nurses are on duty 24 hours a day. Special diets, home-cooked meals, occupational speech and physical therapy, and a doctor on call. If you're thinking about knee or hip replacement, they have the finest rehab. Phone 522-2933. That's 522-2933.
Well, Doc, I'm here. I just evolved. We're simply talking about the life of our children today. I was just simply asking Vicki, she sits on a number of FDA advisory commissions. Are people in government concerned about the skyrocketing incidence of these allergy or allergic-related diseases, autoimmune diseases in our children, autism, autism-related diseases? I mean, certainly comparing the health of American children from that point of view with the health of children, you know, as they used to be, I mean, certainly, I mean, when I was in medical practice, starting out in medical school, we very seldom saw type 1 diabetes in children. Now, of course, it's much more commonplace, but autism, I never heard of autism, you know, and then I started out in 1950. You know, this really didn't begin showing up until the 1980s. Literally a new disease among our children. So are people in government concerned about the allergy and certainly toxic changes in our children?
Well, I get the sense that there is concern, but I don't get the sense that they're concerned that there may be a vaccine association to this. There's still considerable debate about whether the number of autism, the number of autistic kids in the U.S. is real, or it's just better counting, or a change in the way that we define and diagnose that. I think most people have come around to concluding that, in fact, it is real. And when they're talking now about one out of every 91 children in the United States having an autism diagnosis, and depending on which age group that you're looking at for the boys, it's as little as one out of every 58 boys. That's quite shocking, if you ask me, because autism is one of those kind of conditions. While, you know, in some cases, autistic children can be quite high-functioning and brilliant and very bright in many respects and just lack social skills. There are other autistic children who are tremendously impaired, who, you know, are nonverbal. They're not toilet-trained. They are never going to be able to take care of themselves. They will require 24-hour-a-day care 7 days a week for their entire lives. And these groups of children are beginning to age, and I think you know, the social services system is soon going to experience a tidal wave of autism that they're not ready to deal with. Even amongst the high functioning children, they're not going to be able to live on their own. They're going to need some type of assisted living or group homes, or they'll continue to live with their parents that will eventually age out and not be able to care for them. So there's a lot, and maybe what it's going to take is for other sectors of our economy to experience what I think the parents have been experiencing and shouldering the burden of these kids for all this length of time, for people to wake up and realize there are big chunks of our children are very, very sick.
And, you know, I did a debate, a public debate, not too long ago, and somebody had called in. There's a radio debate with a physician on this very issue. And a physician, a teacher had called in and said, you know, I mean, I've been a teacher for 40 years, and so, you know, I teach disabled children, and so, yeah, I did for this for 10 years. I went back, had my family. I went back into the classroom, and suddenly there are all these autistic children. We never saw those autistic children before.
Right.
But suddenly they're there. And, of course, this points out this argument that's put forward by the bureaucrats to say, oh, we've just began to count them differently, you know. And they have all of these arguments, but they're not valid. So do you go to the into the nursing homes, you don't find autistic people who've been autistic all of their lives. I mean, this is a new disease, not simply a matter of counting or making better diagnosis. Isn't this your feeling?
I think we're seeing something that we've never seen before. And my personal opinion is that the cause of this is complex. There's probably not one single cause because, for one thing, there's not one single presentation of autism. Autism is a very it's a label that is, it doesn't mean all that much in terms of diagnosis, because it's kind of like using the label like chest pain. You know, what does chest pain mean? You can have chest pain because you have angina or heart pain. You can have chest pain from a broken rib. You can have chest pain from pneumonia. That's just about as useful as that term autism is. I think there's a lot of different ways that you can get to it. There are genetic issues. There's environmental issues. There's combinations of genetic plus environment and probably multiple environmental issues. There's timing of exposures and the type of exposures that these kids get. And I think that's what many of us are very concerned about, is because there is a subgroup of autistic children that are what is known as regressive autism. These children met all of their developmental milestones. Many of them were talking. They had good social skills. They had eye contact. They had no physical health problems, so to speak of. And then they go in and get a round of shots. Typically, it's the 15-month shots. And they begin to lose eye contact. They're speech stalls out. They don't develop additional speech. They develop a lot of inflammation type of problems. And it's a phenomenon that I don't think pediatricians, you know, were familiar with dealing with 20 years ago.
I certainly agree with you. And, Sydney, this is borne out by people who deal with these tragic disabled children. Suddenly, we're going to see an epidemic of these children, and who's going to pay for them? I mean, we're a compassionate society, but where's the money coming from? We're having money maintaining our educational system today, and what's going to happen 5 or 10 years down the line to these young people? Well, anyway, thank you so very much for being with us. Take care. I really appreciate it. And I appreciate all the time you put in there attending those meetings, trying to get some damage to my strength. God bless and thank you.
You've heard of it. The hair of the dog that bit you. A solution for your morning woes when you've had too much to drink. Each 12-ounce can of hair of the dog provides you with a natural, smooth energy boost and is a good liver detoxifier, even if you don't drink alcohol. To order Hair of the Dog or the 7 other awesome liquid nutrition products, go to www.liquidnutrition.4tgl.com or call 720-494-4663.
The American Freedom Network is not funded or supported by special interest groups or government programs. The American Freedom Network is not sponsored by advertisers demanding content or programming control. The American Freedom Network is solely funded by you, the listener. Please help keep the American Freedom Network on the air by purchasing one of our sponsors' fine products or by calling 1-800-205-6245 to make a donation. The American Freedom Network needs your help.
Have a party, wedding, graduation, summer reunion, backyard birthday, or a backyard get-together to plan? We'll make sure that occasion is extra special and find all of your party needs at Grand Rental Station. Don't go anywhere else for your canopies, chairs, tables, bounce houses, and dunk tanks. Grand Rental Station has it all. When planning your next event, be sure to add Grand Rental Station staff of expert consultants to your list for the very best in service and advice. Call your local Grand Rental Station now at 970-532-0144 in Johnstown. The very place for everything to rent. That's Grand Rental Station, 970-532-0144.
Article 4. The right of the people to be secure in their persons, houses, papers, and effects against unreasonable searches and seizures shall not be violated. And no warrant shall be issued but upon probable cause, supported by oath or affirmation, and particularly describing the places to be searched and the persons or things to be seized.
Well, Dr. Stan, back here to wrap up the program. Vicki, you're still there?
Yes, sir, I am.
All right. Well, I just wanted to thank you so very much for being with us, and I'm going to have to let you go because the program's over, but I really appreciate so much you taking the time to be with us. It's such important information, and once again, the information is available at the National Vaccine Information Center.org. God bless.
Thank you, Dr. Monteith, and I appreciate your work.
God bless. Bye-bye. Well, Sydney, there are people out there who are really trying to do something, and Vicki doesn't get paid for what she does. She's doing it out of a labor of love, as is Barbara Fisher, as are a number of people trying to bring out what's really happened. We have over 650,000 autistic children in the United States today. And this was a relatively unknown disease when I went through medical school. It wasn't recognized until really the 1980s and didn't become prevalent until the 1990s. And it's destroyed the lives of so many children. And, of course, if you go to our website and read my newsletters, we're doing a series on the fatal deception. We have fatal deception 1, 2 up, and fatal deception 3 will be up soon. And I've just finished fatal deception 4. Information you need to have, and you're not going to get through regular channels. And certainly the mercury in art, the vaccines, are poisoning the minds of our children. And according to Dr. Mark Geyer, why, and his son David, if the child actually follows the current CDC guidelines, why many children, or some children, by the time they reach 18, will get almost twice as much mercury as they did before they took the mercury out of the childhood vaccines, because they left the mercury in the vaccines that are given to children. Boy, Sophocles would certainly be proud of the way they manipulate the American people today, and they have no idea what's happening there to the physicians. Well, how do we understand this? Well, one way to understand it is my book, Brotherhood of Darkness. There is a secret that's been maintained for thousands of years. It could cost you your life if you ever were to reveal what this secret was, and believe me, the secret societies move very, very rapidly to terminate the life of those who come forward and tell the secret. And Brotherhood of Darkness, my book, tells you the secret against the backdrop of Agatha Christie's wonderful book, The Murder on the Orient Express. We are offering, as I've mentioned, we're well over halfway now to getting enough people to subscribe so we can do our printing. But we need another printing of the book. We want to keep it in print. Tom Horns reproduced the book through his publishing house, and it's available through him, but we're down to 100 copies, so we've got to reprint it. And you can get the book in any markets for $12.95. You can get 60 copies at $2.50 each. That's $149.95, but you have to pay the shipping in addition. You can get send these 60 copies for $149.95 or $250 each. You can sell them. You can give them away. But this is an excellent means of reaching people for the Lord. bringing them closer if they're already a Christian. And if you'd like to get a case of the books, which will help us to get the book back in print, our telephone number is 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. Please pray for America, pray for revival, but pray for the written liberty, for our provision and protection. Until tomorrow, may the Lord be with you.
Now you can reach the American Freedom Network at our new P.O. Box, 1750 Johnstown, Colorado, 80534, or online at AmeriFree.com.
The Wild Bird Center in Denver asks, did you drive safely this morning when you saw children along the roadway? It's back to school time again, so let's be careful out there. That's from your friends at the Wild Bird Center, where Candace Stewart and staff are always working to make our area a safer place for our youth. For the highest quality products and friendly service, committed to education and conservation, call today, 758-7575. That's the Wild Bird Center at 1685 South Colorado Boulevard in Denver. Call 758-7575 and mention you heard this community announcement. They wish you a happy and safe fall season.
For over 15 years, K&K Premium Carpet and Upholstery Care has provided not just clean carpet, but a healthy carpet. Bonded and insured, K&K has brought quality care to your home with a proven safe truck-mounted hot water extraction process that is pH-balanced, allergen-free, and safe.